Wonder Woman, The Green Hornet, Bonanza, Murder, She Wrote, The Mod Squad, Honey West, Ironside. Just some of the series which have benefited from the writing and producing genius of Arthur Weingarten. And now the legendary writer is live on the Midweek Drive. Prepare to be amazed.
Do you know, I can hardly believe, Arthur, it's nearly a month since we last spoke. This is ridiculous. What's happening to the time? Is the world just spinning round at an ever-increasing rate? Really?
It is, but you see, I have to tell you something. The injection of a now live Arthur Weingarten, it's affirmation that I need.
This is very true. It's the kind of therapy Katie was talking about with William Cole's son afterwards. You know, start off by looking at the positives. One, we're actually alive. If we're alive, it means that our mission on the planet isn't over. So that's the classic. So we keep on going from that.
There you are.
Now, we have started putting out the word, Arthur, to hopefully sort out Annette's little challenge with respect to getting various sort of dialogues put together, because suffice to say, I'm asking around, and Katie will affirm that I'm asking around in terms of finding somebody who can translate these various other bits and pieces. So you can put Annette at ease from that point of view, that we are looking to hopefully solve that little challenge you've been having over in San Diego land at present.
I have to tell you something. First of all, thank you, and she thanks you, and George M. Cohan, my mother, thanks you.
Lord.
Yes, right. But it is the major embarrassment. Here we are in San Diego. They have about seven universities around here within spitting distance and all that. We have tried to find, because with my arthritic hands, I can no longer type, really. And Annette is very bad at it. She's been doing her book on the computer, but a little at a time because her eyes spin. And then I edit when she does in my own scroll handwriting. And we thought it wouldn't be a problem in getting someone to transcribe it that way. That was zero. I then put it on tape and talk it, thinking that would be easy. Maybe even a retired court reporter. No one, not a single person, wanted to touch it. And so it was Rick Davies, who's publishing the book, who found this woman, and unfortunately her mother just became terribly ill, and so she can't do it. So, you know, we thank you again.
It's
and again.
Okay. I mean,
it's at the end. It's almost no, all done.
We'll get it sorted. I mean, I did like it was almost from one of your own scripts, Arthur, Annette's line that once it goes beyond about 10 pages, I'm ready to jump, but the computer would go first.
It's true.
How often Tessa
Snipes? And then I hear she's not given to swearing, but her Italian background comes out, and I hear the muttering inside when she says, "How the hell did that happen?"
Exactly. Listen, Tessa's in the middle of a 10,000-word dissertation, so she knows the pain that Annette's actually going through.
There you are.
So you have it, don't you?
Exactly. Hannah's just shaking her head.
No, your pain.
Don't throw yourself out the window. Throw the computer first. Oh, no.
If I throw the computer, we lose the dissertation.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes, right.
So. Once I've finished
it. You see, not only are things out of whack here, but on TV here, they can't wait to talk about KFC closing 900 stores because you can't get chickens.
Well, it's funny you should raise that, Arthur, because we spoke about this in the first part of the program, and my initial reaction was, quite frankly, if your entire life revolves around getting a family pack of that Colonel original recipe, then I really think you should seriously consider your priorities, okay? That's been the first thing.
And then we vegetarians are shooting up rockets. So
exactly. This is the key point. That in essence, from that point, think of the chickens. You know, suddenly they got a bit of relief.
Right.
They don't have this bizarre colonel with his secret recipe looking to sell.
Right.
The world can survive without fast food outlets selling. Honestly, let's just do a straw poll in the studio. Obviously, other outlets are available, but have you ever gone in for fried chicken, please, Shaylee?
Chicken is life, Alex. I've got it tattooed on my arm.
Tessa?
Well, I'm not the biggest fan of it anyway, so it doesn't bother me.
Hannah, are you gutted with the whole thing? Like the chickens, obviously.
I love chicken.
Mm. Yes, Hannah.
I don't go to KFC often because obviously it's a bit unhealthy. But you know, if I wanted a KFC, I would be a bit disappointed.
About it going on a once a week basis or a twice a week basis. For goodness sake, just think of your arteries. Think of your internal ramifications.
It does taste very good though.
The amount of cholesterol in one bite could, you know, the Algerian army could march for a month.
And probably would have done that in the Battle of Algiers. But anyway, right. And Katie?
I've never eaten KFC.
Well, there
good
we
on you.
Exactly.
I'd say we'd go get some, but we might not have any.
You'd only create challenges.
The chances are over.
However. Thinking about remakes, because Rick Davey is actually joining us in a few moments, effectively, and I've been sharing his wonderful book, Playboy, Spies and Private Eyes, which is being circulated at present. Are there any series which you look on now fondly, which you think, actually, I'd quite like to do a remake of that? I mean, you know, for instance, and I know there was an attempted movie with Will Smith of Wild Wild West, and there was various talk about it sort of coming under option to be remade and so on. But do you think, or is it a case of, no, these things are series that are of their time, and what we're looking at now is that...
It's really just incredible you're talking about this, because Annette and I, just last night, were talking about... that very issue. They're replaying Randall and Hopkirk on one of your channels over there now. I guess a nostalgia channel. Several of her fans have emailed her about it. And so we started talking about the fact. Over the years in this country, as over there, they have remade so many of the popular series in both countries. And not a single one of them has lasted. The only one I know of that does or has very successfully is Hawaii 5-0.
Indeed.
And I believe the reason for that is that it is an extended travel log. Talent has nothing to do with it. Yeah. It's like putting on the bathing suit one where...
Much as I like Alex McConaughey, he's no Jack Lord. And somehow I feel that actually Hawaii 5-0 in its current incarnation, the suits are not as smart as they used to be. I know there was an ongoing joke with respect to Dan Au and the whole thing, but you knew that 5-0 were there when Kono, Jinho Kelly, Danny Williams, and later Ben Kokoa, of course, and Steve McGarrett, they actually wore those suits, you know, and it certainly had a quality. And I don't think global warming has reached the stage where they have to take off their tops every single episode.
No, but you know, but all jokes aside, I believe there is a quasi-science to why these remakes don't work, and that is the original, like most things, the original had an original idea. And that idea would translate if it hadn't happened in the 50s, 60s, or 70s, or 80s, if it popped up in the 90s or 2050. It would work because it had the lifeblood of originality. When you start to do something which is a clone, in effect, actually a real clone of something that was a hit before, you are behind the eight ball because you're thinking of what did they do. And you can't possibly replicate that. It is impossible. You're constantly thinking that you are being mastered by someone who is no longer around. And therefore you have to satisfy something which is no longer there. And I find it to be ludicrous that companies still do what they do with the sequels. The only where it works is in motion pictures with comic book stuff, where they do the prequels and on and on and on and on sequels. But I've yet to see, except for Hawaii 5-0, anything works. And I believe that Jack Lord had a charismatic character. The people who are on it today, not that I've seen it, but every once in a while I'm going through a channel thing and I catch it. They're irreplaceable, replaceable, rather. If you lost them, you could get another one 5 minutes later. But I believe all the thing, you know, the Saint and this and it did Return of the Saint and the New Avengers, and in looking at those, which I had in the past, they're pale for what the originals were. Mm. They're almost an embarrassment.
Although, interesting enough, I think Rick Davey actually came to the whole ITC magic through Return of the Saint, primarily as his essay, indeed, in Playboy, Spies and Private Eyes actually outlines. Shaley, you were sort of nodding quite strongly there with respect to what Arthur was actually saying. Is it something you agree with in terms of these don't remake it, it's never going to be the same? Unless, of course, you get, I always like to say, Arthur's doppelganger, Stan Lee, making his regular appearance in the Marvel movies.
Nice.
You know, if you've got Stan Lee and Arthur McKenzie in the same room, Brooklyn boys, you couldn't tell them apart.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely true what it is that you're saying. However, I've just thought of Romeo and Juliet. When you compare Franco Zeffirelli's version to Baz Luhrmann, Baz Luhrmann takes a completely different view of the Romeo and Juliet trope and really brings something fresh and new. But
well, that's different, yes.
Yeah, in terms of TV, I think, yes. Yeah. It's been... Absolutely. It's an original idea.
When an original talent such as his, whether I happen not to like him very much, but I recognize his talent. He has a true talent. And I think when he or anyone like him gets their hands on it, that's quite different, yes. But when you set out just to try and get a hit so you can sell more advertising on it, it shows.
It's lost its soul. It's lost its soul. You've sold your soul for the filthy lucre. That's the whole thing.
Yes, that's it.
Katie.
That's it.
Thoughts from yourself? As somebody who does all her TV watching via the computer.
I think, it very much like Shaley was saying, I think you've got to be bringing something new to it. I think just trying to remake something as it's been made before, I would much, much rather watch the original with the original cast and the original creator's intent behind it. But I think reboots where somebody says, do you know what, this sort of structure could be used to tell a different story or a different message. I think they can be, one of my...
Battlestar Galactica.
Absolutely. It is amazing, but it's definitely not the original Battlestar Galactica. It's something completely different.
It hasn't got
Lorne
Green in it.
It's a whole new kettle of
fish. Is that the one with Rihanna in it?
No.
No, you're thinking of Battleship.
Ah, yes.
He's easily confused, but Lorne Green, I mean, every time...
Rihanna should be in it.
The Glenn Larson edition of Battlestar Galactica, I was saying, where's Little Joe? Where's Hoss? Where's the whole Bonanza posse? It's amazing. Tessa, thoughts for yourself? Notice I've avoided asking how far your mother has actually got with respect to
Please
Arthur's
don't.
Book. As you know, so
we'll leave that.
It's tucked away somewhere.
I will somewhere. Get it off of her one day.
It's somewhere in Glinton. We
it's
know that.
It's still safe, though.
It's okay.
She's probably put it in that, the safe
book,
place. That
the book is it. Safe, Arthur. So
we'll get it back.
When you have the next dental treatment, is it safe? The book is safe.
That's right. Is it safe?
I need to get that back.
There's a tagline that I always thought was going to catch on. You're the only one I've ever heard, Alex, seriously, to use it. And I think it's one of the most chilling taglines you could have. Is it safe?
Yeah, is as delivered by Laurence Olivier to Dustin Hoffman.
Yep.
Is it safe? Is it safe?
Is it safe? And it never caught on.
No.
I can, make my day caught on, but not that one.
I'm going to leave a reminder in my phone right now.
Are you talking to me? Even that's caught on. But now, is it safe?
Yes.
When I do my dental checkups, when I go there, I'll make reference to it's not marathon. I get blank looks. I might as well be taught. It's hopeless. Anyway, the other classic line from Marathon Man, which I'm sure you're familiar with, Arthur, was the tale about Dustin Hoffman who worked so hard, coming sweating, all the rest of it. To which Laurence Olivier said, "Dear boy, have you tried acting?" Marvellous. Hannah, any thoughts from yourself?
Well, I agree with mostly what's been said, because I'd say reboots can work when you're bringing new, for
so you
example,
think Justin
Doctor
Bieber
Who.
Is the new Harry Potter? Is it?
No.
I mean, that's the thing, if you were going to... I don't know how I'd feel about a direct Harry Potter remake, even when I'm older, because if they were to do exactly the same thing, everyone's like, well, why don't you just watch this amazingness that's already here? But when you're rebooting, comparison with Doctor Who, when they brought it back in 2005, they were using the old premise, but, creating new stories, and that works. You have to add to it rather than do the same thing.
You know, as I'm listening to you, here are all these admirably young people who are saying the same kind of thing that I happen to believe. But just the other day, I recorded Separate Tables, which I've seen 344 times. Now it'll be 345 times. And the reason I do is that Terence Rattigan wrote a very original thing talking about Britain and used a trope that is universal, and that is, what do you do with people who are past their prime?
Put them out of pasture.
How do you
give them a time? To give them a time slot between 5 and 7 on a radio station in Lincoln somewhere. That's the key thing. Sorry about that.
But if you were to do, and I don't know if anybody, maybe they have already tried to do Separate Tables, that would be exactly like the others, except even worse, because the underlying premise of it, of course, was quite different from what you saw on the screen, and the people who did it were sympathetic to that. This was a sea change, the major having to confess that it's all hollow, and all of that had ramifications for those who wanted to look at it. If you didn't, it was one of the most poignant pieces of an age that was passing, the Separate Table Hotel seafront. If you tried to make it today, Motel 6 chain thing, you'd have to put them in there. I mean, gone is
and of course,
the seaside. Yeah,
we look back at them as period pieces now, primarily because just as John Osborne and the rest of the angry young men said in the 1950s, we'd had enough of this mannered comedy, this mannered routine. Terence Rattigan, go away. And off he went to actually live with Ian Fleming. But there we are. So it goes.
Yes.
Again, another incisive, insightful set of comments and thoughts, Arthur, which again proves that that wonderful CIA bug that we actually have in the Weingarten household that picks up their previous conversations from the night before has worked. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have said that about the CIA, Sarah. Tessa, last two questions for Arthur, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Oh, I certainly have. I always do. Thank you.
That's good. And will you be returning to the show soon?
I will. I will. Oh, all you fantastic. Have to do is ask.
That'll be March next week. And then Andre...
I am a Pavlovian creature. You ask, I do.
Well, that could get us into operant conditioning, which is another whole tale, Arthur. We'll go there next time.
Never like to see you cry. there only to hide my guilt and shame. I forgive you, now I ask the same of you. While we were apart, I was human too.
The village is a place where people turn up. People who have resigned from a certain sort of job, have defected or have been extracted. The specialized knowledge in their heads is of great value to one side or the other. Are you sure you haven't got a village here?
Where is this village?
Lithuania, the Baltic. 30 miles from the Polish border.
How did you find out?
Nadia told me.
How did she know?
She used to work for their government. She came across a secret file.
On how to catch a spy in 6 lessons.
I risked my life and hers to come back here, home, because I thought it was different. It is, isn't it? Isn't it different?
Well, I don't know. Is it different, Rick Davey? I mean, it may be, may not be. Could be the essential guide to the prisoner. What a sensational book this is, having purchased it recently online. Welcome back to the Midweek Drive, Rick Davey.
Hi, Alex. Great to speak to you, and thank you very much for the kind words. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And to answer your question, it's not a bit different, is it? The village is all around us, always.
The village is all around us in all ways. And just to prove that, we have to say, because of the global village, that Arthur Weingarten and Annette Andre send their very best to you, Rick, and insisted that I pass on best wishes to you. So I'm
Back at them. Lovely people.
There you go. You can, of course, listen to this on the podcast and say, oh, they did too, that after all. It was very true. Who was Patrick McGowan? Why Port Merion? How was the prisoner made? What car did number 6 drive? Why the giant balloon? These are questions that Hannah Brown has been agonising over ever since you saw at least 3 episodes of The Prisoner back in... Oh, sorry, 2 episodes. Sorry, I thought 3 might... I think it might have gone to number 3. Only 17 in the series, Hannah, so...
I do want to watch the rest.
Exactly. Back in 2017, the year of the 50th anniversary of The Prisoner, and here we have the essential guide to The Prisoner, which if I actually go to a particular page, i.e. the It's Your Funeral, a change of mind page, we can actually see Patrick McGowan with Annette Andre in full prisoner action there. Annette playing the watchmaker's daughter. Anyway, we're describing the book in a kind of tease, Rick, so that more and more people will actually go online and purchase the essential guide to The Prisoner, which I think is a wonderful... It's not a book, a zine. It's more kind of like extended... Well, how would you describe it, actually? Sort of a portmanteau of prisoner magic. Tessa, how would you describe it? It's indescribable.
It's like
the series itself. It's indescribable.
It's lovely. It's glossy. It's like a mini... Maybe like a supplement,
an extraordinary supplement.
You know, exactly. It's small and quaint. So
extraordinary, small and quaint.
Yeah,
and everything you need to know to deconstruct the whole prisoner series, including name checks for Big Finish, Nick Briggs, et al.
Like the prisoner diary, or like the Bible, prisoner Bible. There you go.
Cool. Yeah, nice. See what you did there. The Gospel According to Rick Davey. It could actually happen. So,
I would describe it as like a museum guidebook. So there's enough in there to show you round, mm-hmm. so that you know where to go to maybe look for more. I think there's something in there for the newcomer, for people that don't really know The Prisoner very well, to kind of explain to them what it is. Mm. And I think there's enough in there for people that have seen the series, they know how it ends, but maybe want to know a little bit about the minutiae of how it was made.
Yeah. So, Shaylee, have you ever sort of been tempted to go down the Patrick McGowan path of the original 17-episode series, The Prisoner?
I actually have to confess something and say I've never even heard of this series, and I would like to be educated, please.
So, Rick, it's time now for you to share with Shaylee McKenzie, English graduate and keen science fiction aficionado, why, between now and whenever you next return to the programme, she will at least have actually deconstructed in her own unique, wonderful way, The Prisoner TV series.
Well, you must watch at least the first episode and then let us know what you all think. It is a totally unique series. Unlike most television programmes, it can be watched on more than one level. So if you like great action-adventure series, it's good for that. If you like great plot, it's good for that. But if you want a TV programme that also makes you think, then this has it in spades. It's an allegorical conundrum. It shows a window to the world around us that you won't see in any other series. So you've got the great action, but also, if you want to think about the world around you, this allows you to do that. I won't tell you too much about what it's about, but essentially it's a man who resigns from a secret job and is immediately abducted. He wakes up in a strange village. He doesn't know where he is. There's no escape from the village. He's totally stripped of his identity. He's known only as Number 6. No one has a name in the village. Everyone has a number. And over the next 17 episodes, you get to go on a journey with him to find out where he's trying to escape from, who he's trying to escape from, and what the world is all about.
That sounds really interesting. Sounds a bit similar to Stranger Things with Number 8 and Number 11 and stuff, but no, that sounds really cool.
And where do you think Stranger Things got their original inspiration from?
Very true.
Exactly. Well, if you think about every TV show that we love these days, I'm thinking of Lost, I'm thinking of Twin Peaks, I'm thinking of shows that really have across the borderline between, you know, just television programs and art, they all were influenced by The Prisoner, as all of their creators have been on record as saying. Without The Prisoner, you don't have any of those shows.
Tessa?
I have seen some episodes. I'm sure in second year you sent me some of the clips. Did we watch it? Yeah, I've seen it. It's really
because
good.
Because part of Origins of Modern Britain is to actually look at the counterculture of the 1960s and the rise of pop culture and commitments within that. So well remembered, Tessa. Surreal?
It did make you want to keep watching, though.
That's the A, B and C of it all.
It was very good.
Somebody might have identified what I actually did there. Possibly Rick, the A, B and C of it all. Yeah. Never mind. Let's all go to a party with Madame Ongadine. What say you, Katie Dorr?
I love it. It's one of my favourites. I was introduced to it when Straczynski, who created Babylon 5, kept referring to it and said that it was one of his big influences, particularly about the Psycor. And, yeah, with what you were saying about it, sort of filtering through into so many contemporary things, such an important programme.
Joseph Straczynski, whose series Babylon 5, Katie Dorr actually remembers, even though it was in the 20th century as well.
That's amazing. I love Babylon 5.
You know, most of the male actors sadly have passed away. They've joined Patrick McGoohan in The Great Sort of Sky.
I know,
Michael O'Hare, no more. Peter Jurassic, no more. They're really not dead, just as long as we remember them. Clearly, your focus very much, Rick, with respect to Quite Media, is British programmes, ITC, and we celebrate that, Playboy, Spies and Private Eyes being just one aspect of that whole process. We were talking with Arthur just a few moments ago about you can never really remake these in any way which is really going to be remotely satisfying. They kind of not only are of their time, but they have a kind of uniqueness that's actually there. Do you feel that's sort of strongly the case, or is it just a case of, well, there was only ever one Lou Grade, that was a magical moment of life, which, even though you might have a parent who's passionately keen on Gerry Anderson, yes, Mr. Dorr, father of Katie, I'm thinking of you. Sorry, probably a Gerry Anderson sort of fan there. But actually, the series like The Champions, Department S, The Persuaders, The Saint and so on, and Danger Man and The Prisoner, they do represent a kind of Britishness where we're kind of getting our mojo back after the war and so on.
I think that's very, very true. I think Arthur got that spot on. There have been a couple of attempts to remake things. I don't know if you remember Vic and Bob tried to remake Randon Hopkirk, probably around 15 years ago. There has been a remake of The Prisoner, and both of them fell completely flat. Because you're quite right, although some of the series are relevant today and they're great to watch today, I mean, The Prisoner will always be relevant because of its themes, they are a product of their time as well. The swinging 60s, the height of the Cold War for some of the, sort of darker series, I don't think they could be made today. And a lot of that is down to Lou Grade. You're quite correct that, he used to commission TV series on a handshake, whereas now you need probably to go through 100 committees and script meetings before you even can make a pilot. So the world is very different now. You can't make those sorts of shows anymore. Although occasionally something does come along, something like, Life on Mars or Hustle, that has that kind of escapism.
Inside Number 9, perhaps.
Exactly, another great example. You can still make shows like that, but I think trying to remake what I would call the golden age of television is always going to be impossible. And they try it with comedies as well, and that also falls flat. You can't remake Dad's Army. You can't really remake Steptoe and Son without it just missing something slightly.
Hannah, having seen two episodes of The Prisoner, what were your views on the series as somebody who was born in the 20th century, but frankly towards the latter end of the 20th century, long before The Prisoner was actually getting its cultural kudos?
Well, I really enjoyed it. It was, well, I had no idea what to expect before I watched it, but it was really good, and it really hooks you in very well. Because I was only intending to watch the first one before returning the DVD to you.
Mm. Politely, but it's what students do. So it's thank you very much. One's enough. One's sufficient. Thank you.
Well, I know you wanted to share it with others. but I made sure I could fit in to watch another one before the next time, because I just wanted to know what happened, and it has been playing on my mind since then. I do want to catch up on it. There's just many other things to do. Well, but I do intend to go back and finish the series, because I want to know why he's on the island, and I want to know why he resigned.
Don't expect answers. Remember, answers are a questions are a burden to others, answers are a prison to oneself.
Very philosophical.
Say that, idiot. Port Marion, of course, wonderful place. We really should have a midweek drive outside broadcast location there, and I'm sure that someday with Rick we'll connect together on that. Just talk to us about Quite Media, which I actually realised on the running order I actually misspelt for some bizarre reason. Still, never mind. Quite Media, why did you set it up? How is the company developed? And how can actually purchasing Playboy, Spies and Private Eyes also lead to a donation to help save animals as well?
Thank you very much. I'll answer all those questions. Quite Media, QUOITMEDIA.co.uk is where you can pick up copies of some of our books. It kind of started off, really, a friend of mine called Robert Fairclough and his friend had written a book about the series Callan, which I can recommend again to your lovely colleagues there, that is a series that they should watch. And they were having a bit of trouble with their publisher. So I thought, it would be such a shame if this book didn't get out there. So I thought, oh, well, I'll publish it and I'll set up a company to do it. That went so well that obviously things have snowballed from there, that, you know, we're really trying to get sort of books out there about these great shows that maybe the regular publishers probably wouldn't publish. And the latest book, as you say, is Playboy, Spies and Private Eyes, which is a look at the great ITC action-adventure series of the 60s and 70s. And every penny of profit from the making of this book is going to the Born Free Foundation. It was Annette's choice of charity. I asked her to write the foreword to the book, and I said, pick a charity, and if you'll write the foreword, then as a thank you for writing the foreword, we'll donate all profits to the charity. And she chose the Born Free Foundation, which is a fantastic cause.
That deserves a round of applause for Annette and Rick Bailey and the Quite Media people and all wonderful stuff. Brilliant stuff. We're going to have to scoot over to Los Angeles again, because Lily Holloman is on the road to another screening of The Lady Killers. Phil Leonis, I believe, is driving, so we weren't expecting a great deal from Phil, but he's a massive Prisoner fan, as we know from times past. Really sings the praises in so many examples of Chill Pack Hollywood. So I will ask, Hannah, would you like to put those last two questions to Rick Davey, please?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Obviously, and I can't wait for the next time if invited again. There's nothing better than chatting about the TV programmes that I love, whether that's from the 60s or from, you know, I wasn't around in the 60s, or from the 80s, which is my sort of TV decade. I can't wait to come on again.
And he goes off in his white Lotus Toyota thing there, scuttling away with the little stick figure behind him. It's wonderful. Rick Davey will return.
Open for when you look behind you, there's no open doors. What are you?
which is clearly the question that all midweek drivettes are keen to actually put to Lily Holliman. Does she know where she's going to? Do you know where you're going to, Lily Holliman? Is Phil Leonis driving?
Do I know the way to San Jose?
La 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 la. Sorry, I was over there. Back wow. to the 60s with Do You Know the Way to San Jose? Do you know? Marvellous. So where are you going, Lily?
I'm going to San Jose. On the road as we speak, Buzz Aldrin is in my lap, surfing the dashboard, because I'm also sitting on the dashboard. And very roomy.
Health and safety. Yeah, on the dashboard,
I just
so
that. She's on
Lily,
dashboard.
Lily sitting with Bert. Buzz Holliman. Buzz Holliman.
Nice, I like it. Buzz Name Aldrin. Change.
Well, Lily Aldrin.
I was
and
called
Buzz Holliman.
Fish Aldrin the other day, so it all
works out. It works well. So, and what vehicle are you driving in, pray tell, on this road to San Jose?
Oh, you know, it's the Price is Right Kia Soul that I won in 2014.
Oh, well, what can I say? Lily Holliman is deceptive. To see Lily's work opposite her childhood hero, Tracy Ullman, in the Showtime series Tracy Ullman's State of the Union, or as Lisa on Showtime Shameless, or as a guest starring Comedy Central's Key and Peele, or indeed as the earnest, compassionate and spirited wife of a Navy SEAL on CBS's NCIS New Orleans, she's just Lily Holliman. She's just it's wondrous.
Wait, sorry, Lily, you're on Shameless. I'm currently watching Shameless. Yeah, I'm currently watching it. I think I'm on season 7. When do you appear? Unless you've already appeared and I just didn't recognise you.
What season are they on right now?
I'm on 7.
I mean, what are they on? What's the latest?
Oh, I'm not sure.
I think I was season 5.
Okay, I need to go back and rewatch.
So I was Lisa of the two Lisas. The
Joan Cusack's last.
It was Joan Cusack's last episode, and my wife and I were coming in to gentrify the neighborhood.
Oh, no way!
Wait.
Yes. You look completely different on the TV series than you do in real life.
My
goodness.
She's an actor. You know, that's why.
Insane.
She could change to suit the role. It was wonderful getting the
And it all fell into place.
Yeah. I was just impressed with the noises off from Phil Leonis in the background. Yeah. Tell him outside. It's all right, Phil. We know you're driving the car. Keep your eyes on the road. That's the important thing. Okay.
That's the magic of radio.
Exactly. So, Tessa, what would you like to put to chauffeur Phil Leonis and ace director, of course, as well as the general all-round cultural correspondent, or indeed the awesome Lily Holliman, about life, the universe, and how people in San Jose are quite likely going to be amazed by the wonderment and timeliness of the Lady Killers?
Maybe we should go with that. How are they going to be amazed with that? I mean, I did just want to know how Fuzz Aldrin was doing as well.
Fair point, yeah. So, Lily, do you want to give us a Fuzz Aldrin update, then, as he's obviously travelling there? Because cats and cars, I'm never quite sure whether they should be in a basket or whether they should put them together. But anyway, share with us from a point of view of the progress of Fuzz Aldrin on his road to San Jose.
Fuzz has a carrying case that she has had since she was born, and it is the one consistent space that she has held for herself her whole life. And she is currently sitting in this case, very comfortable, sitting up, looking out onto the 5 freeway and the majestically dry hills all around us.
She's probably feeling slightly thirsty.
Do you think so?
From the triangle.
You speak as though you actually get a bit... Either we've lost a microphone or you're sort of standing off a base there.
I think it's because I'm sitting quite far back. Well, there we go. Is that better?
Microphone technique.
We're sharing.
Exactly. And the good news is that, obviously, the four midweek drive-outs are actually all on Facebook for you to like at Southside Broadcasting, far as Facebook.com is concerned. Katie, any questions that you'd like to put? Do you travel far with your rats?
We go by train all over the UK sometimes, so yeah. I've roamed the rails with rats.
How do the rats actually respond to being on the trains?
They love it, and they generally try and beg if anyone is eating takeaway food near them, so they squeak and stick their hands out of the carriers and squeak at people's trying to get chips.
I'm just imagining like small hands coming out like, feed me.
Pretty much exactly that.
What are their names?
Oh gosh, I have 7, so yeah.
Wow.
It's a season of confessions and revelations, so I think Phil and Lily can actually take all seven names. The Magnificent Seven, Katie, Dorrats.
I have my three boys, Rune, Josh and Beau. And then I have Renette and Satine, Satu and Ilona.
Oh, what fabulous names.
Nice.
Rune, Josh, wow. Beau, Satine and...
Renette.
I like that.
Satu.
And Ilona.
Named after?
Satu and Ilona are Finnish. Satine and Renette are named after famous courtesans because they are such flirts. And the boys just have kind of random names that I really liked.
Well, you know, in the interests of interspecies harmony, we trust that Fuzz Aldrin is being made aware of what our friends on the rat side and this side of the Atlantic are kind of being named and sorted through on that setup. So how long have you been on the road then, guys? Has it been sort of, have you just set off? Have you just left California?
We've been on the road 30 minutes. We just departed directly from the Breakfast Club.
And was it a successful Breakfast Club this morning?
It was a very successful Breakfast Club. We had not only my mother was in attendance, but we also had a speaker in honor of Black History Month to talk about the architect Paul Revere Williams, who was quite an accomplished African-American architect. The first, he was the first to get his license west of the Mississippi.
Architect to the stars.
He designed many, many famous homes belonging to Frank Sinatra, Lucille Ball, Barbara Stanwyck. The list goes on and on. He was quite the figure. I recommend looking into him as a person and his work.
We will duly take you up on that, because it's clearly a case of if you're architect to the stars, you're building very tall buildings indeed, because you have to be pretty tall to actually get up there. Shaley, when last we spoke to Phil Leonis, of course, he kind of went to bed. I mean, it wasn't... I'd built up the whole thing, so the actual film festival, Newport Beach Film Festival, all prepping for the whole thing. 5 minutes, he'd given up, gone to bed, basically. He was all right. He'd just gone to bed.
He'd had his fill. And you need that was not intended, by the way.
Somehow being.
I mean, I spent 20 minutes thinking of that.
Yes, and it's duly rewarded. You see, it's great. I mean, that could well be in the running for one of our top 10 quips of the year, really, which is great stuff.
Honoured.
And if Phil and Lily ever get around to actually listening to the piece that we actually did, which is available from podcast, they can hear their name checks regularly being made as we wrapped up by saying they should be at the Newport Film Festival beach.
At least he wasn't abducted this time.
Has he been abducted in the past?
Where the line just went.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And we thought the aliens had come.
The CIA question. Every so often. If you will do The Truth Is Out There, and The Truth Is Out There Too.
They're going to come running.
It's inevitable. it's inevitable. Hannah, any questions you'd like to
put? Well, that is the code for abduction. Going to bed is just the same thing as being abducted by aliens in the world.
That's how
he gets his most. His best REM sleep.
There we are. And that's one of the reasons why, obviously, working with Emily Bett Rickards in Funny Story has clearly paid off. It's a movie which we're looking forward to.
Absolutely.
Over to you, Hannah.
Well, I was wondering, if you're going on a road trip, do you have any favourite songs you always play to enjoy in the car?
Yeah, I mean...
The wheels on the bus go round and round, or something a bit cooler?
Any
favorite tunes that we play?
Yes.
We really enjoy not only Nat King Cole's Route 66, but the theme song to the Route 66 television show. It's all instrumental. It's quite pleasing, and it's very good for a road trip.
Very nice.
I like that.
Yeah.
This is a show in the 1960s set on Route 66.
Where people got their kicks on Route 66, so I believe. Dr. Feelgood actually did a version of Get Your Kicks on Route 66, which we might wrap up with in a few seconds. So did the King Cole Trio. So did them. We could actually give that. Do you think it's worthwhile sending this through to the King Cole Trio with Get Your Kicks on Route 66?
Definitely.
It's a mere 2 minutes 56 seconds, so let's go.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to LA, more than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66. Now you go through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, and Oklahoma City looks mighty pretty. You'll see Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona, don't forget Winona, Kingman, Barstow, San Bernardino. Won't you get hip to this timely tip? When you make that California trip, get your kicks on Route 66. Tip. When you make that California trip, get your kicks on Route 66.
It's 2015. That was the shameless year that Lisa was being portrayed by the awesome Lily Holloman. Anyway, sorted that out now. Did that actually help with the driving at all, with the King Cole trio getting their kicks on Route 66?
Oh, absolutely. It was fabulous. Thank you.
It's the best way to appreciate so much good music over a transatlantic telephone line via a cell phone beamed into people on the road to San Jose.
I was actually able through technology to pipe it through the speakers. So
technology is pretty cool.
That's splendid. Next week, Mike Dooley returns to the Midweek Drive. Yay! We also have Chloe Middleton. Yeah. Scott Harrison, the director of the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra. Annette Andre is with us. William Coles is with us. Anna Lewis is with us. In the studio, we got filmmaker Darren Scales, Kasia Nicklin, Professor Jason Whittaker, Chloe Middleton, Hannah and Tessa, no doubt, as well. Hopefully, fingers crossed, it'll be a packed programme, Katie.
Wowza.
Yeah. So would you like to put those last two questions to... they're in the same car together. So let's say questions to Fuzz, to Lily, and to Phil Linus on their way to the movie, which we've just mentioned because it's so good. Why talk about it? Why spoil it by giving away plot lines and so on? Just say it's The Lady Killers there. Say no more, really. It needs no introduction.
If your listeners are in San Jose tonight, they can catch it at 7:30 p.m. at Three Below Theaters. Go to their website. Tickets are available, and we'll be there for the Q&A.
Yeah, it's so tempting to get into the transatlantic jet and fly over there.
Nice.
I could have a word with our good friend Donald to see if he could actually sort of get Trump Airlines to... Oh, sorry, only kidding, only kidding. Yeah, suddenly Phil almost sears off the road. What? Secretly fat? Last two questions, please. For the threesome, the trio who are performing at San Jose with a quick Q&A after the whole thing, Three Below Theatres. Check out the website. Check out the Lady Killers as well. Go, Katie.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic and autonomic link with us this evening?
More than reasonable, thank you.
Will you be joining us again soon?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Not tomorrow morning because Phil will be asleep. It's understandable. We've already cleared him from that. He'll be back next time. We will sort out a whole range of other factors. Thanks to Anna Lewis, William Coles, Kerry Drury, Kira Olsbrook, Arthur Weingarten, Rick Davey. Lots of stuff on The Prisoner, which Phil Leonis might like to tune into, or not, as the case may be. I mean, he might like The Prisoner. He might fall out of love with The Prisoner. Who knows? I thought I would have actually got some sort of response, but clearly he's concentrating on the road. And thanks certainly to Lily Holliman. All we need to do now is...
I've been abducted by aliens.
Yeah, let's just let it go, Phil. It's all right. Let's wrap up with those last three words. Be seeing you, okay? A one, a two, a three.
Be seeing you.
Be seeing you.
Now the sky is grey, but honestly it doesn't hurt.